Welcome back to His Time. I'm Eddie Bates, your host. It is Friday, January 31st, and it's time for our special guest. Our guest this morning is the Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss. He's Executive President at Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Good morning, Dr. Preuss.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about Bethesda Lutheran Communities. I know we've talked with Bethesda a little bit before here on Worldwide KFUO, but for those who aren't familiar with Bethesda...
Well, Bethesda, for 110 years, has been providing Christian-based support for people who have intellectual and developmental disabilities, and we've grown under God's blessings to a large national and even international organization. We have about 300 locations in 14 states where we provide holistic supports and services for some 2,000 people. Who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. Plus, we have an extensive religious life program with about 25 ministry consultants who help provide support for congregations and other organizations to become places that are welcoming of people who have disabilities and who wish to include them in their faith life.
Very good. So it's very inclusive of people of all different abilities when it comes to intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Right. And, you know, over the years, through those 110 years, we've gone through several phases. The first phase originally was where people and families and churches thought that they couldn't take care of their children who had significant disabilities, and they would send them to Bethesda, and Bethesda very happily took care of them, and the institution... which is located in Watertown, Wisconsin, was, a place of caring and love and supported the churches indirectly by providing care for their young people who they felt they couldn't take care of. Gratefully, in the intervening years, people have grown and realized that when parents have a child with a disability, they actually are able to take care of them in their homes. And so... our support has changed to primarily serving adults who, when they get to a certain age, then their parents have difficulties, and then they come to Bethesda. But in the meantime, Bethesda has gone into the community. And so the type of care that takes place, you know, way out in the country in an institution, that's phasing out. And people with disabilities are living and worshiping in the places where everyone else does, that is, in communities, in homes. And so... we do a great deal of community integration. And that's why, you know, for most of those years, we provided religious life supports for people with disabilities ourselves. We had chaplains. But now the effort is to integrate and to help people who have disabilities to worship, well, in the same places and in the same way that everyone else does, and that's in their own local congregation and receive support from their own pastors.
So Bethesda is not just in Watertown then, is that correct?
No. We started out in Watertown, and for a long time we're there. At one time back in the 60s, there were maybe 700 people living there. But over the past four decades, the movement has been very strongly in the direction of community integration. And as I said, we have about 300 locations across the country. The vast majority of those are homes in communities. We support people who... live in their own homes, who live in apartments, and we also operate a large number of group homes. So, yeah, Watertown is where the headquarters is now. In fact, it's kind of a monumental thing for Bethesda this year. We're transitioning all the rest of the people who live on the campus there into community-based living circumstances. There's about 70 people left. And this is the culmination of, as I said, decades of movement. We're excited about it, and it's a really good thing. People are going to be better off always living in more natural settings. But it's a little bit traumatic because, you know, for over 100 years we've been there providing supports there. And as an organization, you know, this is a monumental thing. But fundamentally it's great, and especially great for the people we support.
Now, when you mentioned community-type living, And you mentioned some group homes. What does that look like? What does a group home consist of?
Well, a group home is a home in a neighborhood, and it could be in your neighborhood, in anybody's neighborhood. And If you were to drive down the street, you wouldn't notice it, except possibly you might notice that there's a unobtrusive ramp going up the stairs or something like that. But it's just within the community, and so it isn't noticed. You know, the thing about the way we supported people in the past was that it was all very special and unique, and also quite separate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask people, you know, where do you want to live? Well, what are they going to say? They're going to say, I want to live in a home like everyone else. So that's what we've done, and so these homes may be specially fitted out if people need special support or physical support. You know, we'll provide whatever they need in their home. But the point is, it's a home,
mm-hmm.
and they have like a family dinner, and there's staff there that provides devotions and prayers, and you know, it's as much as possible, just the way anyone else lives.
And the staff that are there, do they live on site, or they're there the majority of the time? You said they provide devotions.
It's 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to live there. There were a few of those cases. We don't do that anymore. We have three shifts, and the folks come in, and then there's it depends on what the needs of the people are, but there may be one person doing the overnight shift. But we just will provide whatever they need,
mm-hmm.
But we're there 24/7 in most cases.
And for you also mentioned services to help individuals remain with their families in their homes. What kind of services are available for families who might be seeking services or assistance?
Well, there's some assistance available for young people who are minors and have not achieved adulthood. There may be, and it depends on the state, the funding agency, and even sometimes depending on the county. So it's hard to speak generally. They're all different, and
mm-hmm.
they all support at different levels. But there may be through your local referral agencies help. Bethesda would be glad to put people in touch, and you can get on our website, BethesdaLutheranCommunities.org, and contact us, and we'll try the best we can to connect people. As you know, it's very complicated dealing
sure.
with government agencies.
Mm-hmm. What are the questions that you think many families might ask, or things that they might struggle with if they have a family member who has an intellectual or developmental disability, and what are some of the challenges that they might face?
Well, that's actually a relatively easy question, because everybody has the same basic question. We got past, and this, you know, happened over many decades, got past the notion that parents could not take care of children with significant disabilities. They can, and they're doing a marvelous job.
Mm-hmm.
They may need support, and it's not easy, that's for sure, but they're doing it. But the nagging question, the issue that is on the minds of every parent who has a child with a disability, is what is going to happen to my son or daughter when we're no longer able to take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
And so the most pressing issue for parents is, well, of course, it gets increasingly difficult as the child grows and becomes an adult, but the worry about what is going to happen. And that's where organizations like Bethesda can really come in. And if we can establish a relationship and get contact before that point comes, it might be possible for us to have arrangements set up so that that can be a natural and rather smooth transition. Unfortunately, many parents, out of love and dedication to their children and worried that no one else will be able to take care of them as well as they have been doing, they wait too long until it's too late. But the fear is there. So we can help, and there are other agencies and groups that can help provide for that eventuality, which in most cases you can be sure is going to happen. And that wasn't such an issue in ages past, or even in fairly recent times, because people with severe disabilities often did not live that long. The average age of a person with Down syndrome, for example, in the past was maybe into the teens and lower 20s. Now they're routinely living in their 40s and 50s. And we have a woman on our campus in Watertown. She's going to be transitioned into a community-based setting now, but she is 96 years old and has been living at Bethesda for 83 years.
Wow.
Can you imagine? No one ever thought that she would live that long. So with that, you know, increased health care and better supports, mm-hmm. people are living much longer. So this issue of what's going to happen when we can no longer support our son or daughter is a very major one.
Sure. I'm sure that's a frightening thing to even try to consider when you think, you know, when you know that you're the only one who's ever going to love your child as much as you do.
Right.
It's a tough question to face, but by asking those questions early can help make those transitions go a little bit more smoothly for your child or loved one.
That's right.
Well, we need to take a break. When we come back from that break, though, I want to talk about the Lutheran Services in America Disability Network Conference that's coming up in just a little bit. So we'll talk about that with Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss here on his time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking with Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss, Executive VP, Vice President at Bethesda Lutheran Communities. And we've been talking about the blessing that Bethesda has been to many families and still is today, and how those changes have happened over time, and how our culture and society has changed in terms of how we regard and care for children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Now, Dr. Preuss, coming up very soon is a conference that might be of help to families or individuals who work in this field as well, correct?
That's right. Coming up in April, the 27th to the 29th in Omaha, is the Lutheran Services of America Disabilities Network annual meeting. The conference is called One God, One Call. And the purpose of it is to bring together the many Lutheran organizations, some 20. We've been talking a lot about Bethesda this morning, but there are about 20 Lutheran organizations from all the denominations that provide supports and services pretty exclusively or focused on people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we come together annually and put on a conference, get some speakers. I just think it would be a great thing if anybody, any folks out there are able to make it, it would be a great benefit.
What can one expect at this conference? What would they find at this conference?
Well, what we're trying to do, our overall objective is to build inclusive ministries that both support the spiritual lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and introduce the congregations to the unique gifts that these individuals have to offer. The title of the conference kind of says it all, One God and One Call, and that includes all of God's people. And we have a tendency to overlook those with intellectual disabilities. There's just this bias in our culture, in the Western world anyway, towards intellect and intelligence, and we almost see that as the greatest good. And in addition, and this is a thorny issue, but theologically we've had a tendency to identify rationality with our reflection of the image of God, and you know, the ability to reason, mm-hmm. and to vocalize. And then what happens when you come across a person that can't do that or can't do it in the same way that most of the rest of us do? We have a tendency to view them as being less, you know. In the past, certainly, clearly we saw them as being less than human, subhuman. Now we probably wouldn't say that, but we have this tendency to see them as being less. Well, okay, they are who they are, and they present themselves the way they do, as we all do, but they are God's children. If they're baptized, then they're a beloved son or daughter of the Father, and they are our brothers and sisters, and they have the same calling, same vocation that we do. So this is about changing these attitudes and about giving practical, real advice to congregations that want to be more inclusive, to encourage folks with disabilities to be part of their congregation, but really don't know how to do that because, frankly, it isn't easy.
Thanks for pointing out that by virtue of our baptism, by the gift of holy baptism, we are God's child. We are God's children, and nothing can take that, no one can take that gift away from us, and it's not dependent on our ability to do anything or to even to think in a particular way. It's God's gift to us that cannot be taken away from us. And I think that really can help us understand people of all different abilities, and as you were saying, as this conference aims to help us be more inclusive when it comes to our congregations and at home as well.
That's right.
So there are some speakers lined up for the conference, is that correct?
Yeah, a couple of main speakers, and then there's, you know, sectionals and seminars and workshops that are very practical. The first speaker is a woman by the name of Barbara Newman. She's an author, teacher, consultant for the Christian Learning Center, which is headquartered in Michigan. She's written a number of books, like, for example, Helping Kids Include Kids with Disabilities. And she's practically oriented, and she'll provide tips for people, a lively, dynamic speaker, well recognized within the community of folks that are involved in this. The other speaker is Dr. Eric Carter, who's a professor of special education at Vanderbilt University, well known and well written, done a number of books, and he focuses on strategies for supporting meaningful inclusion and promoting valued roles for people with intellectual disabilities. You know, the Bible talks about how God has gifted all of his people with different and diverse gifts, and St. Paul really goes into a lot of detail and articulates a number of those. And so, you know, we can assume that all of us who are baptized into Christ, those of us who are in Christ and are part of his body, have gifts to bring toward the upbuilding of the church. Well, what are those gifts? And, you know, and if all of us have them, then we can assume that even people with intellectual disabilities do. Well, how do we discern that? How do we get to know them so that we can learn what gifts they bring to us, without which the church would be less than what God intends it to be?
So
that's a challenge.
Yeah. Who should attend this conference? You mentioned certainly perhaps folks who work in this field, or maybe families. Anyone else that might be, it might be a good conference for them to attend?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, and of course it's in Omaha, so it's a distance, but, you know, for many, but, anybody who is interested in developing, a congregation that is genuinely inclusive. And I should say that while we focus on intellectual and developmental disabilities, if you can find a community that is genuinely inclusive and welcoming of that community, you'll find that they're welcoming of most other communities and types of people as well, because this may be the most challenging of all.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's interested in reaching out and having a congregation that is seeking to serve and support all those whom God has called can come, and will find something very valuable there.
Very good. And how do we, if we're interested in attending this conference, One God, One Call, the LSADN Spiritual Life Conference in Omaha, coming up April 27th through the 29th, how would we register for that or get more information on it?
You can register online at www.BethesdaInstitute.org.
Very good.
And there'll be a tab that you can click on to register or get more information.
Now, with the conference from the Lutheran Services in America Disability Network coming up around the corner, other things are coming up this year with Bethesda or with LSA?
Well, LSA, in connection with that, is having its annual conference. Over 300 Lutheran organizations, various LSSs, Lutheran Social Service Agencies around the country, they're all coming together at that same time. So the Disability Network is meeting the 2 days before that. So if anybody came and wanted to stay, they would be amazed at the incredible things that Lutherans are doing across the country in social services of all kinds. That's a big deal, and it's an annual thing. I always like to go because, you know, I get inspired by the amazing level of support that Lutherans are providing. It's one of the second largest social service, a private social service group in the nation. So that would be pretty exciting.
What do you think it is about Lutherans why is this important to us?
Well, now that's a probably a long and complicated
with about 2 minutes.
But basically, no, it's because we really do believe in the first article that every person is a creation of God, a creature of God, and was put on this earth for some purpose. And when we see people in distress, our hearts go out to them. But the primary reason, of course, is in response to the gospel, where we see people that are hurting, where we see people who need support, we really can't say no. And the gospel motivates us to do that. And by the way, as I said, Bethesda's been going international quite a bit, and we're seeing that just all over the world, amazing things happening in places like Madagascar and in Malaysia. So this is just something that I think we're driven to do in response to the incredible love God has shown us in Jesus Christ.
Very good. Very good. Well, just a recap of the information on the conference again, the Lutheran Services America Disability Network Spiritual Life Conference called One God, One Call, April 27th through the 29th in Omaha, Nebraska. To find out more about it, you can go to BethesdaInstitute.org, and there's a tab there to take you to the conference information, find out about it online. We'll try to link to it as well with the archive of today's program. And also, if you want to find out more about Bethesda, BethesdaLutheranCommunities.org. Well, thank you, Dr. Preuss, for taking some time to talk with us this morning about Bethesda Lutheran Communities and the upcoming conference as well.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
God's blessings to you and all the folks who are working to provide for and serve families and individuals with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in the next segment, we'll join together to study God's Word, as we'll study with Pastor James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. Stick around, listeners. It's time to study God's Word very soon.